Football Big Board Week 5, ready to preview another exciting week of college football. I'm your host, Matt Hicks, the FF Educator, joined as always by my co-host, John Lobb, the Gridiron Scholar. Back at it here to break down the top fantasy football relevant matchups of the week, our sleeper picks, our best bets of the week. And John, for Week 5, an exciting brand new segment. I will leave the tease there until we get to it. It'll be following our normal DFS segment. Before we jump into it, I want to make sure folks know they can head on over to patreon.com/rookiebigboard to get in on all of the Rookie Big Board premium content, including Rookie Dynasty, Devi Rankings, access to the Discord, and so much more. Let's jump right into it. Week 4 was a stupid, fun week of college football, and I'm ready for some more. Starting here with our marvelous matchups, these are the top 6 college football matchups that we're projecting to be fantasy football relevant, starting with Oklahoma at TCU, leading the slate over under 69. TCU is getting 6.5. John, obviously on the Oklahoma side, we have Dylan Gabriel, we have Eric Gray, we have Marvin Mims, but there's more depth to be found in that wide receiver room. And then on the TCU side, Kendre Miller coming off of a big week. Still a lot of questions with the passing game in terms of fantasy football.
You know, 2 weeks ago, we had discussed Eric Gray as a sleeper and how he looked much better, but not necessarily the fantasy production. And then he went off. I would say right now, Eric Gray, Matt, is a must start. You're in the Big 12 conference. You're an explosive offense. Look at that over under. He's so efficient with a lot of touches. Not, you know, I don't know if he'd have a 40-point ceiling just because you do have Marcus Major and Dylan Gabriel can run a touchdown here or there in for a score. However, I think you have a real nice 20 to 30 base points all the time. Absolutely love Gray. And then Theo Weiss, Jaleel Farouk, depending on how your flex, how many wide receivers, they are both worthy of putting into your flex position. I don't think I'd have them in my top 36, which would be in a 12-team league, you know, three starters, wide receiver. But once you get outside of the top 36, both of them are in consideration. To me, the value right now in this game is on the TCU side. And I can't believe I'm going to say this because he has frustrated me for 3 years. I'm going to say it. Max Duggan, if you need, there's so many injuries at quarterback. There's a couple by Hendon Hooker's not playing this week. There are some quarterbacks who are just flailing. They're not producing points. Max Duggan at home, Matt, the last two times he's played Oklahoma, he's produced 57 fantasy points. He's crazy up and down. He blows me away at times. But he's a home dog coming off a tough loss. No, they won. A big win. I like him here against the Sooners. I have no problem starting him. The value running back, Kendre Miller. We finally saw explosive production from that young man at running back. A lot of people liked him as a sleeper over the summer. He finally showed us his talent. I love him here, Matt. And it's time to bench Quentin Johnson. Drop him from your Devy rosters. If you got anything, my friends, someone giving you a fourth round, Devy, take it right now. I'm done. I'm out. He cannot produce. I don't care if the skills are there. There's just zero production. There's just Benjamin CFF. I like Darius Davis is an interesting wide receiver. They do spread it around, which is a challenge. But if you're looking for one, go for Darius Slater.
FAU at North Texas here, over under a 68, so just behind Oklahoma TCU. North Texas is getting 3.5, a sneaky good matchup here. On the Florida Atlantic side, we have Nikosi Perry, who I feel like has finally found his home after bouncing all around college football. 13 touchdowns to 3 interceptions, over 1,200 yards through the first 4 weeks for Florida Atlantic. And LaJonte Wester, 29 receptions, seven touchdowns. He's the wide receiver that you certainly want to be honed in on the Florida Atlantic side. We've given a decent amount of attention to the Mean Green this season, but pretty much back to the same barrel here. Austin Oon, who I found out last week is the same age as me, and I have been out of college quite a while. And wide receiver Roderick Burns still leading the way in terms of receptions and yards, but not a lot of touchdowns to the wide receivers. Oscar Attaway, the running back, is actually the leading touchdown producer on the team. John, who else are you looking at in this matchup?
Well, first I want to go to Florida Atlantic. Post Nikosi Perry now, he should be rostered. At least as your third or fourth quarterback, he can be up and down. But so far this year, Matt, he's been very consistent, and he has that dual upside as a rusher. So I think he should be rostered, and you can clearly play him this week in North Texas. Larry McCarum and LaJonte Wester are also, you mentioned them, they can be put in your lineups at any time. But it's the North Texas side. I've been playing Oscar Attaway in leagues in which I can play four running backs because of the flex position. Roderick Burns, I put him in my lineup last week. I liked him as a sleeper. He didn't get into the end zone. He had a decent day. He's been really consistent, but he doesn't get those touchdowns. I think he's got one touchdown on the year. Hopefully they're a little bit fluky. I like him. Probably those are the only two. I'm not going with Austin Oon. I can't do it, Matt. Those are the five guys I like, the ones that you mentioned.
All right. I don't want to dig too much into this next matchup because sleeper alert here. We have two Kent State players on our sleeper segment. But Ohio is at Kent State, the over-under 65.5, and Kent is laying 11.5. John, this is the best 1-3 team in the country, hands down. Kent has run up against an absolute crucible here to start the season, and I think they are going to lash out against Ohio. And so we'll get more into the Kent State offense as we get into our sleeper segment. But I wanted to point out on the Ohio side, Curtis Rourke, 9 touchdowns to 2 interceptions, just shy of 1,200 yards through the first few weeks, and just shy of 70% completion. So that quarterback is really jumping out. And then Sam Wiglas, I probably didn't get that right, but 22 receptions there. He's the leading wide receiver for the Bobcats.
I just want to say one thing. I featured Curtis Rourke in my waiver wire gemstone column that came out on Tuesday, Matt. He was at 11% on Tuesday. He's only 19% owned still. Why? Go out there, pause the video, put down the podcast, go to your waiver wire. You can't let this young man, he should be on at least 40%, if not 50% of CFF rosters. This is a great game. It's Maction. I know the entire CFF universe, the people that I know who we do shows, everyone's waiting for this game. Let's go, Matt.
A Pac-12 showdown, John. An absolute bare-knuckle brawl between 4-0 Washington and the 4-0 UCLA Bruins. Over-under here is 64.5. UCLA is getting 2.5. If I had told you 6 weeks ago that in week 5 we would get Washington at UCLA both undefeated and UCLA would be getting the points, you would be absolutely shocked, and that's why I love college football. For UCLA, it is Zach Charbonnet's season. For those watching on YouTube, make sure you like the video, subscribe, and you'll have seen that Zach Charbonnet was the cover image this week because I patiently waited 5 weeks to tell my guy. Three touchdowns last week against Colorado brings him to 4 overall in the season. 293 yards, despite the fact that he did miss a game. And then wide receivers Jake Bobo and Kazmir Allen, I believe, are both in play. Bobo is getting more yards. Allen has a real low yards per reception, but he does have 20 receptions so far this season. So if you're playing in PPR formats, he's absolutely in play. And then I would say no surprises on Washington. Michael Penix Jr. at quarterback. Wide receiver Jalen McMillan leading the way. But wide receiver Jalen Polk, also very productive so far this season. 4 touchdowns leading the way. And Rome Odunze, 18 receptions, 293 yards. So Washington, Sean, somehow is supporting 3 relevant wide receivers, where I feel like in the last couple of years, they couldn't support 1 relevant wide receiver.
Look what happens when you change a coaching staff. You bring in a much better coordinator. You bring in Michael Penix through the transfer portal. You saw something in him at Indiana. He obviously was more hurt than we were led to believe because he just didn't look good. Now, they had also changed coordinators last year for Indiana. But the difference in the scheme and the injuries, his numbers were awful. We didn't even know if he would win the job at Washington, you know, when training camp opened. He was in a battle with, you know, Dylan Morris and Sam Heward. He won it. He's one of the top fantasy quarterbacks. He's a must-start. Matt, I can't wait tomorrow night. I'm not going to get any sleep on Friday and Saturday, back-to-back watching these late games, because Washington and UCLA is much must-watch college football TV.
Yes, John, an important distinction. Washington, UCLA is on Friday night.
Yes.
And, John, because of the storm in Florida, our next matchup is actually on Sunday. SMU at UCFS at UCF has been moved to Sunday. The over-under is 64.5, and UCF is laying 3 points, so they're a 3-point favorite. We've talked extensively about the SMU offense. They're always on our Marvelous Matchup segment because they're just that good. But focusing on the UCF side, you have Isaiah Bowser, who has quietly been productive, although quarterback John Rhys Plumlee has the same amount of rushing attempts, and he's vulturing a lot of that upside from the running game. So 404 rushing yards for Plumlee and 4 rushing touchdowns, which sounds exciting, but it's only 1 less than his passing touchdowns of 5 so far. I think Javon Baker, the wide receiver, is the sneakiest guy here on this. 18 receptions, 257 yards, 2 touchdowns. I have snuck Javon Baker into flex spots on my CFF lineups the last couple weeks.
I agree with you. I identified him as a sleeper about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Former Alabama product, just could not get on the field. We know how, you know, how incredible the Crimson Tide locker room is there. He transferred over to Central Florida. He does get the most targets. He's pretty consistent, but he is a little bit his upside because Plumlee is not throwing, you know, those massive amount of touchdowns. It's very unlikely. He could have a nice day, 8 receptions, 85 yards, but you're not going to get the 2 touchdowns, which really limits him. But if you're looking for a nice flex play, you're hoping for that, you know, 12 to 15 point range. I love Baker there. You could take a flyer on Ryan O'Keefe, but it's really hard with this passing game because it just isn't enough meat on the bone.
Wake Forest at Florida State, over under 63.5. Florida State is laying 7. We'll get back to that line in the best bet segment. I'm just going to call that one out right now. Sam Hartman is back. 337 yards and 6 freaking touchdowns against Clemson's defense. I know they went into double overtime, but that is a ridiculous stat line. I don't think that surprises anyone, but Sam Hartman is back. A.T. Perry is in play as always. Jamal Banks and Donovan Green are also being featured in the passing game. Jamal Banks with 5 receiving touchdowns leading the way for the Deacon Demons through 4 weeks. On the Florida State side, I don't feel like Trayshawn Ward is quite getting enough hype yet. 54 attempts for 350 yards, 3 touchdowns. And then Johnny Wilson and Ontario Wilson are leading the way through the wide receiver room. I don't know if there's a clear guy to play between those two, but if you need to slide either one in the flex, we're starting to get into more and more open weeks. We're going to start to get a little bit more and more desperate for those flex plays. I think both of those guys are certainly in play.
Man, I did a little research and I watched that whole Wake Forest Clemson game. And if you look at how Clemson scored, Bo Collins and Joseph Ngata are both 6'3 and over 210 pounds. They're very big receivers. So when I was watching the game, they skied over the defensive backs of the Demon Deacons. And the Demon Deacons aren't a good defense as it is. So it got me thinking, Johnny Wilson is 6'7", 235 pounds, Matt. If I'm the Seminoles and I'm Mike Novell, I have just watched Clemson literally throw the ball up for grabs with these two giant wide receivers that they have at Clemson. And the Demon Deacons, they just couldn't contend with the physicality and the length. I like Johnny Wilson a lot in this game. I think he could have a big – he's going to be a mismatch. I like him a lot. So that's the one player I like. And then on the Wake side, Donovan Green has come back and looked very better than I thought he would. And Jamal Banks is the other wide receiver who's very, very interesting. So there are players here in the flex position. Go out and get them. I think Hartman's up for another big day also.
There you have it, our marvelous matchups for week 5. Fantastic 4 sleepers each week. Me and John highlight one quarterback, one running back, one wide receiver, and a flex position. Guys who may not be at the top of your radar, but we expect to make an impact this week. John, I'll let you go ahead and kick it off here with quarterback John Paddock of Ball State.
You know, I have Jayshon Jackson, the wide receiver at Ball State, and Carson Steele. So I've actually watched 2 Ball State games, if anyone, believe it or not, I'm watching Early Mac. And as I'm watching it, John Paddock isn't that bad, Matt. He has 3 straight games with over 25 fantasy points. He's only owned on 2% of rosters. And look at these numbers versus Illinois' pass defense. They are giving up 289 passing yards. They've surrendered 15 touchdowns in the year. And they are giving up 33.5 points. And I said, I love Steele. I love Jackson. Well, who's going to be getting these 2 young men the ball? It's John Paddock. If you need a super flex quarterback, your second quarterback, and you need some on the waiver wire now, you could do worse than John Paddock. I like him in this matchup. CJ Beasley. We all love this Coastal Carolina offense. I thought it was going to be Braden Bennett. Matt, he hasn't gotten on the field. We still don't exactly know what the injury is. Very hard to get news. Reese White, early in the year, he looked like he was the guy. But the last 2 weeks, CJ Beasley has taken over this run game. And then, I think it was yesterday, I noticed Reese White is out or very questionable for this game. That means CJ Beasley is going to be the lead ball carrier for the Chanticleers. Matt, Georgia Southern is giving up 215 rushing yards a game, and they've given up 9 rushing touchdowns. The Chanticleers are going to run the ball. We've liked all of their running backs. When you have the starter, CJ Beasley, go out and get him. He is a great option this week for your fantasy team. When I was doing research on the MAC and when I'm looking at Kent State versus Miami of Ohio, I got the wrong screen, so I'll be right there in a second. What I was looking at was Kent State and Colin Schley. And then I said, oh, I know we have Dante Cephas. He's the guy everyone was talking about. But you know who keeps jumping up on the stat page? Devontae Walker. Matt, he has 15 receptions, 246 yards, and 3 touchdowns. You alluded to it. They've had a gauntlet of opposition this year. They played Washington in Washington, Oklahoma in Oklahoma. Only easy game was Long Island. And last week they played Georgia. Let me repeat that. Georgia. They played Washington, Oklahoma, and Georgia, Matt, on the road. And Walker against the Bulldogs had 7 receptions for 106 yards and a touchdown. I can get this young man in expected shootout with Ohio with good quarterbacks on each sides of the ball. I love Devontae Walker here. And Matt, this last selection, it's all about the matchup. For years, I go to the bottom 5 run defenses in college football. Unfortunately, UConn's been there a lot. UMass has been there a lot. Last year, I played against Missouri's run defense a lot. You know who's absolutely pathetic? Is the run defense of the Colorado Buffalo, Matt. This is the numbers that they are surrendering right now. 323 yards rushing per game. Let me repeat that. Colorado is giving up 323 rushing yards a game, 16 rushing touchdowns. Matt, they give up 43 points a game. Michael Wiley, he's not a bell cow, but he's really efficient with the ball, Matt. He averages 6 yards a carry. Well, all I need is 15 carries against the Colorado Buffalo. He might get 115 yards and 2 touchdowns. If you need someone in your flex, Michael Wiley of Arizona is your guy this week.
All right. I'm starting off here with quarterback Blake Shapen. Not a, you know, unpopular name. But this is a really interesting line on this Baylor, Oklahoma State game. It opened at 48.5 over/under. It's now at 57. So we're expecting a good amount of offensive action. Last week against Iowa State, who's considered a pretty good defense for the Big 12, Blake Shapen went 19 for 26, 238 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. So it's been a slow start to the season for Blake Shapen, so I think a lot of the allure has worn off to him, but I think he's building momentum at the right time, and Baylor's expecting to have to push their offense in order to compete in this game. Oklahoma State, 10th worst passing defense in the country, 323.5 passing yards allowed per game. I think Blake Shapen can absolutely be a difference maker in this game. Jordan Mims, Fresno State. Feel like we haven't heard anything about Jordan Mims in Fresno State. Yes, up against UConn. Correct. John's rocking the UConn shirt. Now, John, we have strayed. We have strayed from our mantra. We haven't brought it up since week one. The mantra on this podcast is you always bet against UConn. Jordan Mims is in play this week. Back-to-back 100-plus yard games against USC and Oregon State, a good Oregon State team, okay? They're coming off of an open week, so he's fresh. Quarterback Jake Haener, unfortunately, done for the season. They're going to be leaning on Jordan Mims in a positive game script. Oh, and it does not hurt that UConn is allowing 194.5 rushing yards per game against lesser opponents. So Jordan Mims... Oh, and John's going to be at that game. So, John, you'll have to let us know when Jordan Mims goes over 200. All right. We're going to need you to record that one. Wide receiver Troy Franklin, Oregon. With this Oregon passing attack, it's starting to heat up a little bit. All right. Through 4 weeks, he has 20 receptions for 339 yards and 2 touchdowns. Last week against Mizzou, Troy Franklin went 5 for 137 in a touchdown. Stanford is 123rd in the nation. So if you want to do some quick mental math, I believe that's 10th worst, 9th worst in the nation in passing yards allowed per game, 325. Oregon absolutely has the ability for Bo Nix and Troy Franklin to go out there and put it to the Cardinal. By the way, that is an 11 o'clock Eastern time kickoff game. So I'm going to hang around to see how much of that game I can hang around and watch, hopefully all of it. And then in the flex, we're going back to Kent. Kent State, I alluded to this earlier, has played Washington, Oklahoma, Georgia, and they did add in Long Island University for good measure. This team is ready to absolutely shred a MAC team apart, all right? They are just waiting. And you, if you drafted Kent State players, have been waiting to use them. So how about Marquez Cooper, who hasn't been useless, John? 270 yards and four touchdowns against that slate of opponents that I just mentioned. Against Georgia last week, he had 90 rushing yards and 40 receiving yards. He had 23 touches, and he had a touchdown. And Ohio is 90th in the country in terms of rushing defense. So, Kent State, Marquez Cooper, you can add in Colin Shalee. You mentioned your sleepers. We're playing all the Golden Flashes this week. They're going to absolutely tear into them. Continuing on with our Fantastic Four, John is going to give you four players. If you're playing a traditional DFS-style salary approach, four players that you can use as a baseline to build a lineup around.
Matt, this I've done 9 lineups so far this year on Fantrax. I do the day and night slate each week. And we only go over the day slate on our show. And then we had week 0. That's why we have 9. I've averaged 77.6 points on my 4 players that I give to viewers. I'm doing well. And I always keep the salary under $25,000. So if you use my Fantastic Four, you can build. You have the majority of your salary remaining. And I never take the big players. So here I am again. I'm going to start with Hunter Deckers out of Iowa State. Matt, he's played well this year. He is a little limited because he doesn't have a lot of upside with his legs. But when he's got a good matchup and it's a good game, he's twice scored over 27 points this year in college fantasy football. He's going to be forced to throw because of the opposition. Jaden Daniels is so hot for the Kansas Jayhawks. They're going to put points on the board.
Jalen Daniels.
Jalen Daniels is so hot. They're going to put points on the board. Deckers is going to be forced to throw the ball. He's only 5,800. Anytime you get a starting quarterback under 6 grand, that's incredible. Unfortunately, it looks like Zach Evans might not play. There are questions this week. So this is a pick right now. I'm going with, based on the assumption that Evans doesn't play. Obviously, Saturday morning, we got to pay attention very close. But if you haven't noticed, Quinshon Jenkins, the freshman, has been unbelievable for Mississippi, Matt. 29.5 points last week in PPR scoring, 21.8 the week before. I picked him up on 2 college dynasty leagues. And I picked him up last week. He Evans probably goes to the NFL. Jenkins is next in line. I like Mississippi at home. It is a challenging matchup against Kentucky. They're a good team, a good run defense. But I think Mississippi's still going to have success here. And he's only 5 grand. You got to put him into your lineups. I'm going to go a little higher than normal, but I've saved some salary. Deuce Vaughn. Matt, he's been really consistent with the touches. What hasn't occurred are touchdowns. Last year, 2 things made him incredible. His number of passes that he caught and the touchdowns. Well, because of Adrian Martinez, the touchdowns haven't been there the last 2 weeks. Well, what does that tell me? If I'm Texas Tech, who am I going to slow down, Matt, right now in the 5-yard line? They're going to go after Martinez. Looked to me, it is going to be the easiest quick flip, the easiest handoff to Deuce Vaughn on an RPO because you got to stop Martinez. I'm going all in that Martinez scored or Vaughn scores twice this week. He finally gets those touchdowns in chunks. I love him in this matchup. And we finally saw another explosion. We've been waiting for it. These Alabama receivers, it's been tough all year. Bryce Young is putting up great numbers, but the ball is spreading all over the place. Jahmyr Gibbs is a pass catcher extraordinaire. He's better at receiving than running. But last week, Ja'Cory Brooks exploded, Matt. 6 for 117, 2 touchdowns. Smash spot here against Arkansas, one of the worst secondaries in the SEC. They're on the road. I think Bryce Young and Ja'Cory Brooks get it done again. He's only $5,000. That's my Fantastic Four.
Brand new segment. John, I am excited about this one because it aligns with our new partnership with Prize Picks. This season, me and John have been playing Prize Picks on the side all season long. It is a fantastic way to add some action to your Saturday. If you are not familiar with the format, I think it does a very good job of making it easy to blend the world of betting, parlays. It's a little bit of a DFS type approach here. Essentially, what you do is you have a series of props and you need to match between, you know, a set of 3 to 5 props. You can pick 3, 4, or 5, and you pick over or under, and they have pretty much any category. And it's not just college football. We're talking about college football because this is a college football show. But I'm into F1. They have F1. They have NFL. They have basketball. In that part of this, they have everything going on. All right? So if you use the promo code RBB, RBB, like Rookie Big Board, you get 100% match on your deposit. So when I tried it out for the first time, put in 50 bucks, they gave me 50 free bucks. Guess what? 5 weeks later, I'm still playing off of the promo money they gave me because I just keep hitting. So what we're going to do each week now on our Prize Pick segment is me and John have outlined a quarterback, running back, and wide receiver prop that we're going to play this week. So you can use that as one piece of your 3 to 5 part parlay. You can use all three of these and build a game yourself to match us. However you want to plug and play these, and you'll kind of pick it up as we go here. So, John, why don't you start with your quarterback prop that you're playing this week? And John's on mute.
Sorry, everyone. I usually don't do that, but I got a little distracted for a second.
You got 5 weeks without John putting himself on mute.
So it can be intimidating, but Matt and I are here to help you. Because sometimes when you look at the list, there's like 50 quarterbacks. And you might not know, but Matt and I know basically every quarterback. Austin Reed, the quarterback at Western Kentucky, over 295.5 yards. And I looked it up. In two out of four games this year, Matt, he's eclipsed 300. But that has occurred in the last two games. Why is that significant? Earlier in the year, he was starting at a higher level. Remember, he transferred up and won the Hilltoppers quarterbacking position during training camp. I think he had some challenges with the offense, the level of competition, and all of that involved in being a quarterback at a Group of Five school. In the last two games against Florida International and even Indiana, Matt, a Big Ten program, Austin Reed easily eclipsed 300 yards passing. They host Troy at home. Troy's defensive statistics look okay, but I'm not afraid of them because the Hilltoppers are going to throw the ball no matter who the opposition is. I like Austin Reed to exceed 295 passing yards.
All right, my quarterback pick this week is J.J. McCarthy under 1.5 touchdowns. So you'll notice here, another thing I really like about Prize Picks is John chose a prop he liked from passing yards. I like playing the touchdown props. I find those to be very lucrative for me so far. So I'm going under 1.5 touchdowns. Here's why. Michigan is playing Iowa this week. Iowa so far this year has allowed 3 points, 10 points, 0 points, and 10 points to their opponents. So they have not allowed two offensive touchdowns in a single game all season long. J.J. McCarthy against Maryland in his first Big Ten test looked like a young quarterback playing for the first time. There were positives. There were negatives. He didn't knock it out of the park. If I'm remembering right, he had two touchdowns, and one was off of a special teams fumble. So it was like a seven-yard pass. It was actually 3 seconds into the game. I believe that Michigan is going to lean into Blake Corum, and there is actually a prop off the top of my head, 88.5, 89.5 for Blake Corum rushing yards. I almost picked that one, but I liked a different running back prop, which we'll get to. So I pivoted and took J.J. McCarthy under 1.5 touchdowns. John, your running back pick.
Running backs are awesome on Prize Picks because there are so many different ways you can choose how to be successful. I do like now the rushing plus receiving prop because it gives you two opportunities to hit the goal. If it's a straight rushing number, there's only one way to get there. I like these dual threat players. Last week, I won with Deuce Vaughn because I did rushing and receiving. This week, I'm taking Devin Achane of Texas A&M to have over 108.5 rushing plus receiving yards. Matt, similar to Austin Reed, Achane did not achieve that number the first two games of the year. And then Jimbo Fisher woke up. Was it from the public? Was it just realizing Achane was his only good player on offense? But the last 2 weeks, Achane totally smashed the 108 yards combined rushing and receiving. This week, they are at Mississippi State. They are going to get Achane in space. Mississippi State, they're going to push the clock. I think Texas A&M is going to score a little bit more than normal. I love Achane here to probably get 24 touches, either running or receiving. You give me 24 touches, he should easily go over the 108 yards, go over 108 rushing and receiving.
Yeah, what I really like about John's Achane play is I found big play guys are nice hits for Prize Picks because you only really need one big play from Devin Achane and then a normal amount of touches and you're going to get over that.
And Matt, he went with a 48-yard reception. You don't even need it. That's the best.
I mean, Braylon Allen smashed last week on that 75-yard touchdown run, and otherwise he would have been under, but then he smashed way over. So a good example there. That was a nice one for me. Evan Hull, over 93.5 rushing plus receiving. I also went for rushing plus receiving. Just allows for a lot more versatility. And you look at Evan Hull, the running back for Northwestern. Week one, he had 119 rushing yards. Week two, he had 213 receiving yards. Week three, he had 124 rushing yards. So he's kind of gone back and forth. Over the course of the season, he has 370 rushing, 311 receiving. So I specifically like the flexibility that you get with this prop and Evan Hull. He plays against Penn State, so that would kind of make you think initially to fade it. But when Northwestern is struggling, they lean more heavily on Evan Hull because he's really their playmaker. So I'm going to lean into this Evan Hull rushing plus receiving at 93.5. It would be only the second time on the season that he didn't hit 93.5 if he doesn't get it this week. So I like that play. John, your third pick, your final Prize Pick of the week from the wide receiver position.
In Prize Picks, you can take so many options, which we just discussed. But one way is you can take fantasy points, Matt. And this is PPR scoring format. I had to do a double take. And I wonder if this is a trap, but it looks so tasty with Deshaun Stribling over 13.5. Washington State is playing California. I'm not afraid of the California secondary. Washington State just got into an awesome game with Oregon where they were throwing the ball all both sides, the Ducks and the Cougars. That was a really good game. Absolutely loved it. And I talked about Bo Nix last week, and he ended up smashing for me. Stribling this year, Matt, from a fantasy perspective, 3 out of 4 games, he has rocked this number. 18.1 against Idaho, 22.9 against Colorado State, 19.4 against Oregon last week. The only time he didn't do it was on the road at Wisconsin, where the Cougars just got in a smash mouth game with the Badgers, and they pulled the upset in that one, I believe, right? Didn't the Cougars beat the Badgers in that game? I think so. Or
no, they didn't. Okay. They didn't get it done.
It was a close game.
They did. They almost got it done.
I love Stribling here at home against California. And, Matt, if we get a touchdown, you only need 7.5 points in receptions and yardage. Actually, you need less because a touchdown is worth 7 points on a reception. So you're down to 6.5. I love it. You can get there even without the touchdown. Take Stribling over 13.5.
All right, my absolute favorite pick. It's probably going to be in all my plays, and I've been working in like 6 to 8 plays a week. Cam Camper, over 6.5 receptions. This is just a smash. It's simple as that. Wide receiver Cam Camper of Indiana, so far this season, 11 receptions against Illinois, 8 receptions against Western Kentucky, 10 receptions against Cincinnati. The only game was against Idaho. He only had 4. They didn't need him. Indiana is playing Nebraska. What an absolute smash play. Nebraska's secondary, much like their entire defense, has been woeful this year. Cam Camper, over 6.5 receptions, locked and loaded. If you want to get in on it, play with us this week. Again, it is code RBB. If you're watching on YouTube, there will be a link in the show description. If you're listening on your favorite podcast provider, there will also be a link in your show description. Make sure to jump on, get a 100% deposit match, and play with us. Let's finish out this week 5 slate preview with our best bets. Here we go, John. We're starting to get a little bit closer to 500 here. You are 6-9 on the season. I am 5-10. I got 2 nice wins last week. We're pulling close. I'm making a case for our t-shirt bet. John, go ahead and start us off here with your point spread pick of the week.
Matt, I fell for the gambler's fallacy last week. Remember I took Wake Forest on the money line? I think it was
close.
And they were ahead, and I was counting the money. I was like, I hit it. And sure enough, Clemson scored. Then they lose it. Oh, I'm like the gambler's fallacy, but I'm back. After another week of hard research, Matt, I love home underdogs in college football. We have 2 undefeated teams here. The Bruins welcome Washington to town. I'm getting 2.5. I really wanted the hook. I wanted 3 or 3.5, but they're not giving it to me. But I'll take it on the home dog here. And here's why. Your cover boy, Zach Charbonnet. The Huskies have not played against a runner of Charbonnet's talent. He's the perfect complement to Dorian Thompson-Robinson, the quarterback. They're both very efficient with the balls in their hands on the ground. I think the Bruins, Kelly has a chance here, Chip Kelly, to bring him to 5-0 and bring back the halcyon days that he had at Oregon into Los Angeles. I think they upset the Huskies here. I like the Huskies. They're a good team. But you're asking them to go on the road against another undefeated team. I'll take the Bruins plus 2.5.
I had to double check. I had to triple check this line. Wake Forest plus 7. I understand Florida State is 4-0 and there's a lot of momentum behind them. They beat LSU by 1 point. We know there were a lot of circumstances that went into that. They only beat Louisville by 4 points. I understand the backup quarterback came in, but this is not a good Louisville team. All right, and yes, they blew the doors off of Boston College, but we learned early in the season that this was a bad Boston College team. Wake Forest just took Clemson to double overtime. Sam Hartman is hot. The offense is back and clicking. I think Wake Forest is going to come in here and easily cover. They were actually originally my money line pick. I found a better money line pick that I liked. Wake Forest plus 7. Feel good about the Deacon Demons this week. John, over under.
I'm going to go to the big game on Saturday night, and I can't wait to scout this game. One, I really want to see. I saw Devin Leary against UConn. I watched it for a half. I couldn't watch anymore. He was incredible, but it was the UConn defense. I need to study more Devin Leary. He's been up and down. I've lowered him in my Devy rankings, but I need to see him now in a big game here. We just saw Clemson put up 51. I don't think this is a classic Clemson offense, Matt. They're not as dangerous as the Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence teams. But they do have some talent here. And DJ, I got to give him props. He's playing better football. I think he's got a 10-1 touchdown interception ratio. Matt, you know how important that is to me. Last year, he was a 9-10 touch. That's pathetic. To flip the script to 10-1 and win that game. Now, he wasn't perfect, but you know what? Incremental steps. Leary's going to put points on the board, I'm pretty convinced. I think North Carolina State is underrated. I looked at 43, and you know why? Both teams have good defenses. I get it. But the Tigers just gave up, what was it, 45 to Wake Forest? Mm-hmm. North Carolina State, they haven't had a ton of tests. I think the two offenses can produce. It might be tight. You might be down to the fourth quarter. But give me the over 43. Can't wait to see these quarterbacks here.
I went over 45 for Texas A&M, Mississippi State. I got to be honest, John. This one feels like it's going to be a sweat. All right. I don't think this one is a smash play per se, but quite often the ones I don't feel like are a smash are usually the ones that do end up hitting. Texas A&M, I understand why this line is here. I think it's because Texas A&M played pretty low-key on offense against Arkansas when we expected them to potentially blow the doors off of a weak Arkansas secondary. But I'm going to go game script to push this one forward. Will Rogers and Mississippi State have the ability to push 28 points, even 35 points? They're probably going to land more in that 28-24 range against a solid Texas A&M defense, but with another week under his belt, I think Max Johnson gets a little bit more comfortable, is throwing the ball more, and let's not eliminate, we referenced in our last segment, the big playability of certain players in this offense. Evan Stewart, the wide receiver, running back Devin Achane. So there's opportunity here as we get into the fourth quarter to push this 45 number over. I think it's going to be a slight over, but I am going to use that as my over-under pick of the week. John, money line.
I do believe that there are teams that just come out of nowhere, and as a kind of a better, you need to jump on the bandwagon. I have Jayhawks fever. In 2019, it was Minnesota, Tanner Morgan. They were flying. I bet them early and often. I think they were 9-0 or 8-0. They were so hot early. During the pandemic, totally on Coastal Carolina and BYU. Both those teams were very, very hot. Matt, what I see right now is a Kansas Jayhawk team who has an exciting quarterback. We mentioned him earlier, Jalen Daniels. They're at home. They're an underdog, Matt. They were fired up last week. They're going to be fired up again. If this was on the road, Matt, I would be very concerned about a big letdown game traveling on the road. But Kansas gets to stay home. The young men get to sleep in their dorms. They get to wake up with their friends on campus and eat in their cafeteria. Daniels remains hot. The Jayhawks are good here. I don't think Iowa State has enough firepower on offense. I like the Jayhawks plus 130. You see a theme here. I like home dogs in college football. Give me the Jayhawks plus 130 on the money line.
Lots of waving the corn this week for Kansas.
I love it, baby.
Money line last week, the rookie big board is 2-0 this year, picking Sun Belt money lines. All right. JMU nailed the money line. They had that sweat against App State. That was a big hit for me. We're going to go 2-for-2 with another plus over 200, and it's plus 210 for Kentucky against Mississippi. I love this. I understand that we get excited about this Ole Miss offense. They only beat Tulsa by 8 last week. And it was a little bit of a backdoor number. But they haven't faced a real opponent yet. Troy, Central Arkansas, Georgia Tech, Tulsa, right? And how bad is it that Georgia Tech's the most laughable out of that group? But anyways, now they get Kentucky, all right? And I know they're hosting Kentucky, but Lane Kiffin has been complaining to the media this week about how the Grove isn't actually a home field advantage. And here you have Kentucky, who is probably very annoyed that all the narrative in the East is Georgia at the top and look at red-hot Tennessee. I think Kentucky wants to come out and make a statement that they're the second-best team in the SEC East, that they deserve to be in this conversation. This is a defense that was able to contain and shut down Anthony Richardson. I think they have the ability to make Jackson Dart also look limited in their play. It's going to be a defense-first game. I'm excited about what Kentucky can do. I think they have a lot to prove. And at plus 210, that's absolutely the juice that I'm looking for. We appreciate you checking out our week 5 slate preview. Let's kick back. Let's win some money. And let's enjoy another exciting Saturday of college football.